Welcome to episode 450 of Fly Away. Yes, we made it to 450. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Dawn, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Sandy, Lindsay, and George. Elizabeth's come back to visit with us every once in a while.
Back from the dead.
Azamara Cruises are small ships that deliver a luxury experience while immersing you in the destination. Their itineraries allow more time in port, including some overnights to allow for night tourism as well. With lots of inclusions like gratuities and a majority of your beverages, this cruise line appeals to travelers who are looking for authentic cultural experiences. Recently, Elizabeth and her husband sailed out of Venice and visited Croatia, and she's here to tell us all about it. So let's get started. So tell us about Azamara.
Well, I mean, we've talked about it before, and I know Lindsay is a big fan. So the concept of small ship cruising is so great anyway. And as we get older, it's even better. So my very first cruises were small ship cruises, and then I moved on to main lines and bigger ships because I had children and they do that to you. And now I'm old enough that my kids are grown and I can do small ships and it's so lovely. So it's really nice to be able to go to smaller ports. It's really, to me, and we said this over and over again on this trip, and Lindsay, you've probably said it too, it's kind of like river cruising on the ocean. Like, it's the same idea where you get to stop at lots and lots of ports for longer periods of time. You can come and go very easily. It's a little bit harder to get on and off the ship than it is on a river cruise, but like only slightly, like it's negligible. And many times you are pulled right into the port. There are places where Azamara can pull, you know, can actually go up the river. So they're actually cruising on the river, even though it's technically an ocean cruise line. So for Seville, they do that. And in London, they do that. So there's lots of places where they sort of can jig and jog into places that a larger cruise ship couldn't even dream of going. And that's just super cool. For this trip, seeing Croatia, which is known for its coastline and known for its many, many islands and its little tiny ports, we were able to see several of them for long periods of time. And although we couldn't always pull right up and step right off the ship, we had a couple of tender ports. The tenders are very easy to navigate and be on, and because you only have 700 people on this ship, so you're not fighting 4,000 people to get onto these tenders. So I found it to be very stress-free. So really, to me, small ship cruising is the way to go, unless you want rock walls and slides and big pools, which sometimes you do for sure. But if you really want to see a destination, this is, it's just great. It's great.
So tell us about the destination, about where you went in Croatia.
So this was a destination intensive voyage, and this is something that Azamara really does well, and they like to brag about it as well, and they should. They do several different itineraries for several different countries that are intensives, and what that basically means is you're pretty much only going to be in this one country for the whole time, and you're going to see as much of it as possible. So Italy, Spain, the British Isles, they really do find countries to go to and focus on just that country. So rather than just a lot of Mediterranean and Adriatic cruises would do Split and Dubrovnik, and then they'd go on to Greece. And actually, there are some Croatia intensive itineraries that Azamara has that do actually do that, but they still do the intensive part. It's just a little bit longer, so you still get the 7 nights really in Croatia, and then you might start in Italy and end in Athens or something like that. But it does really focus you on that area. I will say that this is a Croatia intensive, but we did stop in Montenegro, which really is, there's just one place to stop there. It's very teeny tiny. It's totally worth seeing. It's beautiful. And I had never been to Croatia or Montenegro. So it was very exciting for me to get to see these places. And I do feel like we would get to port generally. There were exceptions, but generally by 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. And we generally leave after dinner started. Then in Dubrovnik, we're there till later in the evening. So there's usually at least one place that you are there later in the evening or overnight. For us, our overnight is technically Venice, but not really. It was actually Chioggia, which is the port of Venice, because now ships any bigger than 200 people aren't allowed into Venice proper because of some bad behavior in the past. Mm-hmm. And so Chioggia is about an hour to an hour and a half drive from Venice. So it's really a long, you know, you're there overnight, but I mean, you're pretty far away from it. So I'd almost disembark the ship the day before and go stay in Venice if you really wanted to see Venice. I stayed in Venice for a pre-cruise because it also left from Chioggia. So I got my Venice visit done so that I could just enjoy my last day without having to worry about, you know, that long transport in and out of Venice. So that was one, and that's very rare. It's kind of a Venice thing. It's unusual. But that,
so is there anything to do in the actual port city?
Actually, it's very cute. It's like a little mini Venice. If you think of the Venice Island is at the top of a big lagoon and Chioggia is at the bottom of it. So you could, in theory, take a boat between the two. And I think some people may have done that, like a water taxi. It's not really recommended, but it is something you can do. It's a cute little town. It's a port town, but it's they've got some canals and little bridges over the canals. I mean, it sort of dates from the same time period. It's just not, it didn't quite get as big as Venice or as important for that matter. Sorry, Chioggia. Not to insult you. But it is, I mean, it is a very active port. And for that reason, it's very important. And for the port options for Vienna, oh my gosh, for Venice right now, it's actually the closest option. So I felt very fortunate that they get to dock in Chioggia, because there are a couple of other options that are further away. So.
Gotcha. So tell us about some of the ports that you actually visited.
So we visited Split and Dubrovnik, because that's sort of the Croatia must-dos, right? That's sort of where everybody tends to go. We also went to Zadar and Hvar, and then we went to Kotor, Montenegro. That was not in any particular order. That was not the order we did it in. And I will say that, kind of like a river cruise, they were very flexible in their scheduling. We were supposed to go to, I think, Zadar first and then Split, because geographically that would be the way to do it logically. But there was a big race going on in, Split on the day we were supposed to be there. So what they did was they actually flipped the two ports for us so that we were in Split the day before the race and we didn't have all the crowds. And then we were in Zadar on the other day. And they announced that basically, I feel like a day or two before we left. So it was really, you know, it was really nice to know that they had that flexibility and we weren't going to be getting dumped into Split on a day where we literally couldn't get around. Like we couldn't move through the city.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Roads would be blocked. And, you know, I have nothing against races. I think they're great. But if you didn't intend to go to one, then it's probably best not to do it. And of course, the old towns there are very small. So if they've got those areas blocked off where you can't get in, then that's probably what you're there to see. So, and it definitely is. So I was really grateful for that flexibility and that foresight on their part and their ability to pull that off with, you know, fairly late notice. So.
Sure. Sure. So which one was your favorite out of all the different ports that you went to?
It's so hard for me to say. I think maybe Dubrovnik, and I hate to say that because it is so, it's like everybody goes there. We did do a Game of Thrones tour there, because my husband is a huge fan. It was actually kind of fun to do though, because we had a guide who not only shared the Game of Thrones scenes, but then explained what they actually were in historical context. For example, the top of the Walk of Shame is actually a high school. Little fun things like that. So we get some context for those things. So he got to see where the scenes were, but then we also learned the history of Dubrovnik. And these cities are just so old. And I mean, in many ways, untouched, like just truly medieval streets where you know that people used to throw their waste out the window in the head.
I have a question. You posted like a video of you guys on that ocean organ thing. Where is that?
Yeah, that is in Hvar. I believe. Okay. Pretty sure. Yeah. And so that's actually, it's called a sea organ, which sounds kind of strange, but it's
sea organ, ocean organ.
Sea organ, right. Yeah. Well, and there's actually there's a couple of things there of interest. There's the sea organ, and basically there's pipes underneath the, like built into the wall underneath the tide line. So as the water moves and the tide goes in and out, it sort of groans and makes these, you know, organ sounds, if you will. It was actually kind of, it's haunting, but, and kind of pretty, a little discordant, but really, I mean, pretty cool. And there's I've never seen anything like that. And then there's also sort of a, they call it, I think, the tribute to the sun or something like that. And it's actually like a reflective sphere that's supposed to be the sun. And so it shines really bright because it's reflective. And then the planets are sort of lined out from that. And it's like some sort of chart. I unfortunately do not read in the language. So I wasn't exactly sure what I was looking at, but I could tell, you know, the planet names and things like that. So, but it was pretty cool. And it was literally, you just stepped off the ship and there it was. You didn't even have to walk very far. I did almost slide right into the sea because the steps were wet, and silly me didn't realize that, and took a step and nearly went swimming. You can't swim there.
That would have been an adventure. Yeah.
It would have been a way better video too.
What not to do.
Yeah, it was a little chilly. I will tell you, I probably would have like seized up and somebody would have had to pull me out. And it probably would have been Chris, and he would have never let me live that down. So I think we're all happy that that didn't happen. But there were people swimming. And I mean, you know, obviously there are people who swim in cold water with no issue. That would not be me.
Like,
but it was
children.
Really cool. It was really cool to sit there and, you know, put your feet in. And of course, there are a lot of chartered yachts and smaller sailing ships around Croatia, and that port is no exception. And so you can see these smaller ships coming in and out and unloading and loading groceries and things. So it was just kind of, I mean, it's great people watching.
So tell us about the ship.
About the ship itself?
Yeah. So how was it?
I really liked it. I will say that I was blessed with an upgrade. And I don't know if I can ever go back. So the suites on Azamara actually come with a butler. And I might have squealed with delight when I found out that I was upgraded. I actually had a GTY stateroom. I do not want anyone listening to this to think that if you have a GTY, which is guaranteed, that they will upgrade you. It actually is not that common to happen, but I got very lucky. And by the way, I never get upgrades like this, so I was super happy. And so we had a very spacious room with a very spacious shower. That did not have a shower curtain, but had glass. I will say on Azamara, that's rare, but the regular cabins have very small bathrooms. These are old ships, these old R-class ships, and they have shower curtains. So I had prepared myself to do battle with shower curtains, and I got really, really excited when I saw I had a glass shower. So I felt very, very fortunate. We had a wonderful butler. He did unpack for us. I asked him to do it. It was a little strange because they won't do it unless you're in the room. So I had to basically watch him unpack my stuff, which felt a little lazy, not going to lie. I tried to busy myself with other things, but he did a great job unpacking. We had lots of storage.
Oh, don't
space.
Put that there. Oh, no.
Yeah, right. No, I was not going to say anything. I might have rearranged a few things after.
It's like, I would have paid to see that.
And the best part about that is we had four drawers. And so Chris and I decided, you know, you're going to take these two. I'm going to take these two. Well, when he unpacked, he gave me three drawers and he gave Chris one drawer. But I mean, I was okay with that.
I'm sure you were.
And he gave me the two top drawers. So, I won. And I was like, Chris, you want to move this? He's like, no, it's okay. I was like, thanks. We had two closets. So we had his and hers closets. So really plenty of space. I do, the other rooms are smaller. I did see them. But, you know, after being told, well, the shower is so tiny and all that, it's not that bad. It is an older ship and it's a smaller ship. So you have to expect that things will be smaller. But that upgrade to a suite, 100% worth it. I mean, I would totally do, because that was an entry level suite that I was in. So, you know, you get to the suites, you get butler. It also came with specialty dining included. So I could eat in specialty dining every night had I wanted to. And had I been able to get reservations for it, we did actually pay extra to go to the chef's table, which we can talk about in a minute. But we also had a special restaurant that we could eat breakfast in. And I will say, you guys know how I feel about buffets. the buffet, the food was great, but it's really small. And so if it's crowded at all, I mean, it like started giving me a panic attack because there were just way too many people in much too small a space. So we tried to eat there one morning, but it was a morning that we were all going out for excursions and it was crazy. I was like, out, I cannot do this. But then we came back and did it another time when the excursions were a little bit more spaced out and it was fine. So, yeah, the food was good. I hate to judge a buffet by the crowds, but really that's kind of what I judge lots of things
so
by.
the base level cabins, is that all they have is a buffet, or is there a dining option?
There's main dining and it's delicious. Would you agree, Lindsay?
Yeah.
It really is delicious. It's quality. Yeah.
I would say if you have to be on one of the midship or bigger ships, this is, I think, my pick for best food. Of that size range of ship, they definitely do. And I don't know. I know you don't like buffets, but usually they'll have a themed outdoor buffet type
for white night.
Bed. Well, for white night, and then sometimes depending on the ports, they'll tailor the menus to where you are, which is another thing that they do that mirrors the smaller ships, and I absolutely love it. They're bringing on that local cuisine and getting that, and they'll have like the crew, which I don't know who sails these ships because they're never up there driving.
Yeah.
they're out there like bringing people waffles and sundaes and they're like manning the ice cream bar or whatever. I don't know who's an autopilot or something, because they're like the friendliest crew you've ever met in your life. And the captain's out there like, "Would you like whipped cream on your waffle?" I don't know.
Yeah.
You get any of the outdoor?
So you're not lying. That is absolutely true. We said the same thing. Who's steering the ship? So white night, it rained. It didn't rain the whole time, so we did get to enjoy the party outside, but it was raining when they were trying to set up the buffet, so they ended up kind of moving it under cover, and so we didn't get the full experience for that. And then, the only other outdoor meal that we were given, that restaurant is always serving food, but the one that was special was at the end, they did, like, a captain's lunch, where, they had, like, ribs and, like, a bigger do, if you will.
Like a smorgasbord. Am I right in saying it's an overabundance of food? Because I feel like we had like 50 kinds of cheeses, and it was, first, I have choice paralysis often, especially if it's something I really love and I want to taste, but you can't taste all of it. So then you stand there for like 20 minutes trying to figure out which three cheeses you're going to try. But there was so much. There was like a whole three dessert tables.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal.
I'll take one of those, and one of those.
I think I have video that like the dessert table, because I was so, but I think I squealed when I saw the Black Forest cake, which I don't know.
I do suppose the menus change a little bit depending on the itinerary that you're on, for sure. There were some standard things, but like they definitely did bring in, local flavors for, at least for an entree to try, even if it wasn't, if they didn't theme the whole meal after where we were. The buffets were good. I mean, I really didn't feel, other than, I just don't like people. And I still don't love the idea of my food sitting out, but I will say that they seemed very close to the kitchen. Like they were always bringing out food. It didn't seem like it was quite as far as it sometimes can be on a ship. So we were encouraged to do dinner in the buffet. We never did, because we did purchase a chef's table package, which was something I didn't even know was a thing. And of course we had the specialty dining as well. And then we ate in the main dining room. So we never did go to the buffet for dinner. Again, I'm sure it's very good. I totally believe it's very good, but I'd much rather sit down and have somebody bring me food. I just like that more. So
the chef's table's phenomenal too. That's
great. Yeah. Yeah. The chefs, and I don't know if they did this on yours, Lindsay, but they actually had three chef's tables with three different cuisines.
Yeah.
There was French, Italian, and Arabic. And so we got on early. We were one of the first people on, and apparently, and I don't know why they allow this, but I totally exploited it. there is a chef's table package. So they give you a discount if you book all three chef's tables. So Chris and I looked at each other and we're like, you want to do all three chef's tables? And so in my head, I'm thinking, oh, well, they must be like, they must do them multiple times during the cruise. No, they do one French, one Italian, one Arabic, and they're all 12 people max. So Chris and I took up two chairs at every single one of those and made it so that there were other people who couldn't go to the chef's table. And I feel a little bad about that, but I don't feel really bad about it. I mean, I enjoyed it a lot. So, yeah.
So you talked about food. What about drinks?
So drinks are included with dinner. Certain drinks are included with meals. And then you can buy a package for other drinks. And then you can buy a better package for even better drinks. So if you want top shelf cocktails, then you need their I think it's not ultimate. Oh my gosh, everybody calls it something different. It's a premium package, I think. It's the higher of them all. And let's all guess together which one I did. Okay, you guessed it. The really good stuff. I don't like to be told, you know, which gin I can have or which. I just want whatever I see. And so I did upgrade. I will say that that is the cheapest upgraded beverage package you will ever get. It was just over $20 a day. Period.
That's not bad.
So you both had to upgrade though, right?
Like yeah. But honestly, that's like a drink and a quarter per person per night. So even if Chris didn't have anything to drink, which he did, but even if he didn't, I could totally drink his cocktails and make it pay. I mean, it's literally a cocktail and a quarter.
$20 a day, that's less than a drink in Seattle.
Right, exactly.
So,
many of the drinks were priced between $10 and $15. So, I mean, that's really, it's a drink and a little bit. So, so I had no hesitation about upgrading, and no regrets either. And then I was on the Azamara Onward, which is their newest ship. Mind you, it's not a new ship. It's a refurbished ship. They're all the same older R-class ships. But it's beautiful. It's been beautifully redone. And they added a craft cocktail bar to this one. So I was super excited to find out that this was the ship I was going to be able to be on. And it's called the Atlas Bar. And it's just outside of two of the steakhouse and the Italian restaurant. It's just opposite them, right there, which is perfect. Have a cocktail before and after. The bartender was outstanding. The main bartender that was in there, he got to know you. So he knew what, the first time I had a drink, he knew what I drank. And he knew that I was trying several things and I wanted to go through the menu. So he'd make recommendations. He knew I didn't like really sweet drinks. He made excellent recommendations. And then, he could smoke a cocktail. He could, they had dried fruits and things that they put in the drinks. It was really, it was top notch. It was really, really good. And then I know Lindsay, you have a question, but they had live entertainment, but it's not live. They had three screens and they had a trio performing. Each person was in one of the screens. It was all pre-recorded. They weren't on the ship, but they were really good. And there was a wide variety. So when I first walked in, it was kind of a jazz trio, like a jazzy standards trio. But then it changed to like a rockabilly trio that was more fun. And then, they had some sort of bluesy singers. And so I never saw the same performance twice throughout the whole ship, the whole cruise.
So I'm trying in my mind to picture what they replaced in the ship with this area, and if the normal bar lounge area, if they just turned it into a higher end craft cocktail area, or did they take over the library space? Because these are all the same. Like, if once you've been on one of these ships, you literally can walk through each one.
Yeah,
everything is kind of in the same spot.
I've only been on one other Azamara ship, and it was before a renovation happened, so it still had a casino. They've taken the casinos out, and it was a while ago. It was before COVID, so I don't remember the exact layout. But I could tell you, when you come out of Aquilina and in the steakhouse, you're like, if you walk out of the restaurant and you're looking ahead of you, normally there would be like a roundish, like a half circle room there that you could sit with the pool
library
area.
Yeah.
Is it the library? So the library is
library over?
Well, but there was a library downstairs, so they moved it, I guess. Yeah.
They must have moved the library. Thank you. Yeah. That's what I was in my mind. I'm thinking, okay, I know, because when you said before and you turn out of the steakhouse, I'm like in my head picturing, I know exactly where, because I sailed on that ship twice before it was with Azamara. So it's actually my favorite size.
Yeah, there was it really is. It's a perfect size. It's big enough that you feel like you don't know everybody on board, but then it's small enough that you kind of feel like you know everybody on board, and the staff really can get to know you. So I really liked it. But yeah, there was a small library in the what they called Spirits, I think, which was sort of the central bar area. They had a piano player in there, so there were books down there that you could check out. And then in the observation lounge area, I'm sorry, I can't remember what it's called because I didn't pay much attention to naming, but they had a lot of, like, Chris and I played Battleship. I won 2 out of 3, which is really rare.
Did you do the trivia? Because that's, like, the trivia blew me away, and all I kept thinking was, oh, Elizabeth's gonna love the trivia on this ship, because they are serious trivia people.
Yeah, we missed it, because we were either in port or I was in a meeting, so we didn't get to go to a single one.
Yeah. There's like 100 of them in a week. How?
It's Croatia intensive. And I had never, there weren't that many. There were maybe 2 a day, maybe. we really opted to make sure we were experiencing as much as possible. And then I am getting old and I had to take naps so that I could actually stay up a little bit later. Because, you know, the chef's table, you got to eat 7 courses. It's not a, you gotta train for that. You gotta, like, you know, especially if you're gonna do it 3 times in 1 week. Afternoon. Yeah, so you gotta nap in the afternoon. I have a strategy, and
you were
it works
in a food
well.
Coma for most. Yeah. Of
so yeah. I'm curious because, like, river cruising. So you compared it to river cruising, but with river cruising, a lot of times you can bring local beer, local wine on board. How is it with Azamara? Because that's really ocean cruising.
So you actually, you can still bring it. I mean, we're also not in the United States, so things are different when you're outside of the United States. But you could bring it on board, but you couldn't, it was the same sort of thing where they would charge you a corkage fee if you brought it to the table or if you brought it to a public area, so you could have it in your room.
Gotcha.
But you couldn't,
okay.
Yeah. And actually,
confiscating it when you were coming back from port if you brought booze. And that's, yeah. No, I brought beer on every port.
Yeah. Actually, there was one time where I came downstairs with my wine glass already with wine in it. And he was like, well, what are you drinking? Can I refill it? I was like, no, I brought this from my room. And he kind of looked at me. I was like, well, that's okay, right? Because I poured it in my room. And he sort of looked at me. I was like, let's just pretend this conversation never happened. So no, you cannot refill my wine glass. I'm good. Thank you so much. So yeah, a little bit stricter on that. But, you know, I didn't bring the bottle downstairs or anything. I just, you know, I poured myself a glass while I was getting ready and I still had a little bit. So I carried it with me.
But you can definitely bring on local flavor.
Yep, I brought back.
What did you bring? Beer or
wine?
Wine.
Yeah, I brought wine. Honestly, because we just saw more of it. We were in places that sold it, so I did bring wine. I have to go back and have more of the beer. I did have a beer. I had also not been feeling well the week before, so I was also trying to be. You know, careful, not over drink. I will say I have to go back to Dubrovnik because our tour guide showed us the coolest bar with, like, it wasn't a tiki bar by any stretch, but it looked like a beach bar, like with swings and stuff like that you could see, you were looking out over the water, but I could not bring myself to drink that early in the morning. So I was like, I got to come back here. And then we were so far away from it that we didn't want to walk all the way back just to go to the bar. So yeah. So I did try some beer, but I didn't bring any back.
Croatia is really known for a lot of their wines. So
Yeah. There were definitely chances to go to wineries. We didn't do that as much. Chris doesn't love wine. It's not his jam. And I'd also been in Italy for a week before that. So I had some wine from Italy as well. So I feel like I brought back some wine from Croatia and I brought back some wine from Italy. And so I'm happy with that.
Very good. So you mentioned you had a few issues. Can you share with us what those were?
Yeah, well, and actually, I want to say that I didn't really, and I was surprised that I didn't. So in the middle of March, beware the Ides of March, Azamara, during COVID, Azamara was sold off. They used to be part of Royal Caribbean International, the holdings group, and now they are owned by another investment company. And so March 15th, they had to break away from Royal Caribbean's booking engine and websites and like everything. Their whole back end was moving. And I mean, I don't work in software anymore, but I've done enough in software that I know that that's probably not going to go well. And you know what? I was right. So, I mean, it's just a huge move, right? And so basically, I traveled at the beginning of May. From March until the minute I traveled, we could not do online check-in at all. It was not possible to do it. We didn't have access to Book Excursions. Fortunately, I was smart enough to do that before the cutover because I knew that it was probably going to be a cluster. So I was like, we got to get these things booked because we may not be able to do it later. And then of course the phone lines were all tied up because, you know, lots and lots of people couldn't access. Everyone couldn't act. There was like, it wasn't like a few people could, no one could access.
No one could. No, I called every day for like 3 months.
It's super bad. So basically we were told just, you're going to show up at the port, you'll check in, it'll be fine. So I know Robin from our agency went on Azamar the week before me, and my understanding is her check-in didn't go as well. She was also in Rome, so in Civitavecchia. So I'm just going to say that might've had a little bit to do with it, but I was in Venice. So I was kind of ready for a little bit of chaos. It was smooth as butter. And it wasn't just, so I got there a little bit early. I mean, I got there on time, but a little bit early. I didn't know my room because I was in a guaranteed stateroom. So I had no idea what my room number was. So I thought, oh, they're not going to know, they're not going to have the piece of paper that has all the rooms on it. Nope. I showed up. She said, oh, no problem. She looked at my name. She's like, you're in this room. She tagged my bags. They went on up onto the ship. I was told, you know, go right ahead, get on the ship. And it was so smooth. And so I thought, well, maybe we just got here early and, you know, we got lucky. No, everyone else, because I was with several other travel agents. We were there for a familiarization trip. Everyone said that their experience was just completely smooth, very, very easy. So I have to say that I think it depends on the ship, but it is absolutely possible that even if you aren't able to access your reservation, you will still have a good experience when you get there. Again, small enough that they were able to look us up. I can't even imagine. They had like 6 pieces of paper with the manifest on it. You know, a Royal Caribbean ship would have been like 40 pieces of paper for them to flip through to find my name. It was just super easy.
Fantastic. Yep. Anything else you'd like to add, Elizabeth?
I think that kind of covers it. It's a very simplistic vacation, a really great way. If you don't think you'll like cruising, but you think that you want to see a lot, especially of one country like this, it's a great way to do it. I mean, if you're going to go to several countries, then that's a little bit more like cruising, you know, would be with an ocean cruise, just smaller. But if you really want to see, you know, they can get to Portofino. They can get to some of these smaller places that, you know, and like I said, up the river in Seville. So if you go to Seville on an ocean cruise, you're going to be taking a bus to Seville. But they go right up the river. So really, I can't say enough about how wonderful it was. And there are certainly smaller ships out there, but you know, it's a great, it's a very good size for what they do. And the first ship I went on was turned into a yacht, a private yacht after I sailed on it. It was 750 passengers. It was a big yacht, but you know, that was 750 passengers. So I feel like this is that same size. It was a great experience.
Small and mighty.
It's just kind of like that perfect marriage of people who really are more land focused. You know, the old trope is that you either pick the ship or you pick the destination. And I think Azamara is kind of in this unique space of where they have a really good ship and they have access to these great destinations. So they're kind of bending the norm a little bit in what they do.
Agreed.
And even if you go on the non-intensive, like I have clients going on the Greece intensive, but even if you go on the non-intensives, you still get those late nights in port. And that's really in the as amazing evening. What was your as amazing evening? We need to talk about that.
It ended up coming on the ship because it was, it rained, but we were in Dubrovnik. It was a dancing, you know, like a folk dancing thing. It was great, but we had to see it on the ship. So I didn't want to talk about it because I don't think it's the typical experience, but I will say the entertainment before, you know, I know we're running low on time, but the entertainment was excellent. And I was actually surprised by that. The vocal talent was really, really good. It's a small but mighty little troupe of dancers. composers. They could do music from like pretty much any era, although they did err toward the 50s, 60s, and 70s because of the crowd. There was a girl in our group who was in her 20s. And so at the White Knight, we were like, they said they were going to do musics all the way through the 2000s. And she's like, I will believe it when I see it. So we were counting. They did three songs from the 2000s. What? So yeah.
It must be a ship by ship thing because we heard every decade. And then one of the interesting
things. Well, we heard them all. It's just not very well represented there.
Not very well. And then one of the interesting things, because you did miss the trivia, I will say it was great to have the entertainment staff. They actually were doing the trivia for like music trivia. So it would be one of the girls or the guys that was dancing and
being the. I love that. I love that. No, I hate that we missed it, but we'll have to go again when I'm not working.
I've got to know. I have to know if this is an anomaly and it just happened to be, because I mean, I was on a sailing with quite a few people who had been on their 25th or 26th or 28th Azamara cruise. So there was quite the, I mean, there were some professional trivia people.
Yeah.
I mean, they were like perfect score. And this isn't like your other cruise line pub trivia where like you can feel great because you can get them all right. And it's this is like you have to really, I mean, these are professionals.
Next time. I mean, we tried to time it, but yeah.
On that note, well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. So on behalf of Elizabeth, Sandy, George, Lindsay, and myself, Donna, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.